I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand exalted more and more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Blessed be the name,
blessed be the name,
blessed be the name,
blessed be the name,
blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name,
blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord,
of the Lord.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord,
of the Lord.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you, men, for that call to praise the wonderful name of Jesus. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I invite you to stay tuned for my teaching from God's Holy Word. The title is Betraying the Son of Man. No treachery is worse than betrayal by a family member or a close friend. Julius Caesar knew about such treachery. Among the conspirators who assassinated the Roman emperor was Marcus Junius Brutus. Caesar had not only trusted Brutus, but he had actually favored him as a son. Roman historians tell us that at first, Caesar resisted the onslaught of the assassins. But when he saw that Brutus was among the assassins with his dagger in his hand, he stopped struggling, and pulling the top part of his robe over his face, he asked the famous question, "Even you, Brutus?" Shakespeare's well-known line is still used today to express shock at betrayal by a friend. And if you've ever experienced that kind of betrayal, you know it's heartbreaking. The very one you thought loved and supported you turns on you in your time of greatest need. As we continue our study in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 22, we come to the scenes of Jesus' betrayal and arrest. He's just concluded his agonized wrestling with the drinking of the cup of God's wrath against our sin. It has been physically, spiritually, and emotionally draining, but he's committed to doing his Father's will. And so, what happens next, though it's not unexpected or unknown, must have hurt him very deeply. Let's read about those events now in Luke chapter 22 and verses 47 to 62. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out, as against a robber, with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour, and the power of the darkness." Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. This text reveals to us several variations on the theme of betraying the Son of Man. And sadly, you and I will see ourselves in these variations. The first variation on betraying the Son of Man is insincere affection. Our text begins by telling us that Judas, at the head of a large group of people, enters the garden, and he draws near to where Jesus and the 11 disciples are gathered. Jesus is still urging them to pray against temptation, even as Judas is arriving. Notice how the text specifically mentions that Judas was one of the 12. Luke also points this out in verse 3 of this chapter. I believe the double reference emphasizes the horror of Judas' act. First, it marks Judas' intention to betray Jesus, and now it marks the act being carried out. So using the prearranged signal between himself and the authorities, Judas begins to kiss Jesus, not just once on each cheek like the typical Eastern greeting, but literally to kiss him profusely. Most likely, Judas wanted no mistakes about who the target was of this arrest. But then Jesus confronts Judas with the words, "With a kiss do you betray?" The very act of love and friendship and mutual trust is turned into treachery by Judas. You know, it seems to me that Jesus is making one last appeal to Judas' conscience. But sadly, that conscience is seared so badly, it's beyond feeling. His disillusionment and his greed have turned his heart to stone. Judas' betrayal of Jesus was a very open act. It signified a conscious choice he had made at some point in the past. And although we don't know all the events that brought Judas to this point of action, he was certainly conscious of the insincere affection that he was now lavishing on Jesus. But then, what about you and me? Are we ever guilty of betraying Jesus through insincere affection? Well, most of us would quickly deny that. I know, he's not here physically. But what about those who are part of his body, the church? You know, if you injure my body, you injure me, right? Have we ever offered someone a handshake and a smile, while inside we detested them, and we couldn't wait to share their failures with someone else? And what about 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21? If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You see, our ability to love our brother proves the genuineness of our love for Jesus. Our insincere affection is a betrayal of all that he is and all that he represents. And there's a second variation then on betraying the Son of Man. It is impulsive reaction. Now maybe you're wondering how an impulsive reaction can betray Jesus. One of the definitions of betray is to fail or desert, especially in time of need. So let's think about what happened here. Luke's account is very brief. He just tells us that when the disciples saw the menacing crowd of soldiers, and when they saw what was happening, they said, Lord, should we strike with the sword? I ask you what the reason is for the sudden boldness of these sleepy-eyed disciples who were huddling behind Jesus. You see, John records that when Jesus asked the soldiers who they were looking for, they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And when Jesus said, I am, the whole group fell backward to the ground. So I can imagine that in the confusion of that moment, the 11 were emboldened, and they asked Jesus if they could strike. Without waiting for an answer, Peter lashes out and strikes at the first available victim. I fully believe he intended to kill the man, but he only slashed off his ear. John's record tells us the man's name was Malchus, and that he was a servant of the high priest. So did Peter's hasty action support what Jesus had taught him? No, of course not. His actions were a betrayal of the very things Jesus had taught in the Sermon on the Mount and on other occasions during his ministry. And Jesus rebuked him by saying, "Those who live by the sword will die by the sword." You know, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'd be embarrassed to tell you how many times my impulsive reactions have betrayed him. When I respond in anger to that rude driver on the highway, I betray my Lord. When I snapped at the waiter for messing up my order multiple times, I betrayed my Lord and his teaching. Maybe you could think of some examples of your own. Perhaps you think those things aren't as serious as what Peter did. Well, anything that hinders Jesus' message is a big deal. If someone rejects Christ and his message because of my impulsive reactions, I am betraying the Lord's trust in me. And I believe that's serious. But don't you love Jesus' response? He literally asks the soldiers for permission to postpone his arrest until he can heal the injured servant. So he touches the servant's ear, and he heals him. It's incredible. He's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about his purpose, to save life, not destroy it. Only God, in his amazing grace, can take our impulsive reactions and make something beautiful out of them. Now that doesn't excuse our poor choices. It just shows his power. It's true. All these events needed to happen just the way they did in order to fulfill prophecy. But those who committed these acts of betrayal were personally responsible for their impulsive reactions. The final variation then on betraying the Son of Man is vehement rejection. So Jesus is led away to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. Peter follows at a distance. You see, the Apostle John knew the high priest, and he was evidently able to get Peter admitted to the courtyard by convincing the slave girl who kept the door that it was okay. But Peter's failure to watch and pray had left him vulnerable to temptation, and he would now proceed to fulfill Jesus' exact prediction, denying his Lord three times with increasing vehemence each time. When those who were admitted to the courtyard kindled a fire to warm themselves on that cold night, Peter moved toward it to warm himself, and he sat down. and there was a certain maid there, most likely the one who had opened the door for him in the first place. And she looked at him intently. Then she said to the others gathered around the fire, "This man was also with him." Immediately, Peter denied her statement, saying, "I do not know him." Our English translations miss the force of Peter's denial. It was a complete denial and disowning of Jesus. The one who had pledged to go with Jesus to prison and to death denies even knowing him. Well, what do you think Peter did after that? Do you think he stayed there by the fire? I doubt it. Remember, it's nighttime, so the light of the fire exposes his identity. I suspect, after this confrontation, that he surreptitiously headed for the exit. Things were getting way too uncomfortable for him. So as he slowly and cautiously makes his way toward the exit, he's confronted by another man who says, "You also are one of them." Mark's gospel says he was confronted by another maid. What's happening is Peter is being recognized by multiple persons as one who had been with Jesus. He's been exposed, and the word is getting around. Again, he's quick with a vehement denial. Now I can imagine Peter getting really uncomfortable. Where can he go to get away from these accusations? The only way is to get out of that courtyard. But in order to do that, he must get to the gate. So he lays low for a while. About an hour later, according to the text, he's confronted by another man who is 100% positive that Peter is a Galilean and part of Jesus' group. John tells us this man was none other than a relative of Malchus. "Didn't I see you in the garden?" he asks. Surely his eyes were not betraying him. And now Peter is caught. The game seems to be up. But he responds with vehemence, "I do not know what you are saying." Matthew and Mark both record Peter cursing himself and swearing to God with oaths that he didn't know Jesus. And even as those words of the third denial are passing through his lips, the rooster crows. Jesus, who was most likely being led from Caiaphas' house to a place of overnight security, turns and he looks at Peter. You and I can only imagine what was in that look. Was it sorrow? Disappointment? Grief? I believe there was much love in the look Jesus gave to Peter. And then Peter remembered. He remembered the words of Jesus. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you know me." And Peter stumbled out of that courtyard into the darkness of the night, sobbing bitterly. He had been so confident of his ability to stand with Jesus, to protect him from harm at any cost. And now he was made keenly aware of his utter failure. What a betrayal of the one he claimed to love so dearly. My friend, how many times have you and I done the very thing Peter did? We talk confidently, but when faced with the hostility of the crowd, and fear for our own well-being, we fold just like Peter did. We close our mouths and we seek a quiet corner where no one will notice us. We don't want to be associated with the hated Jesus. Maybe you've found yourself in a situation where those who follow Christ are being ridiculed and made fun of, and you just kept quiet. You didn't want anyone in that group to know that you were a disciple of Jesus. Or maybe there was a discussion on a particular subject that would have benefited from an interjection of biblical truth. But because you and I didn't know how it would be received, we stayed silent. And in doing so, we denied that we knew Jesus. You see, it's easy for you and me to look at Peter and see his failure. It's a whole lot harder to look into our own hearts and admit the same weakness. You and I don't like to face our own cowardice and fear. But this account in the scripture isn't recorded simply so we know how the events unfolded. No, these things are written for us to learn from, to understand that they reflect our humanity and our attempts to be faithful in our own strength. It's true, the betrayals in this text are varied, but they all have the same roots: greed, pride, the fear of man, and many other things cause us to deny and betray our Lord. Sometimes it's more easily recognized than at others, but the temptation is always there. If you and I, like Judas, allow bitterness to creep into our lives, we can be sure there will be an unpleasant harvest. If, like Peter, we trust in the strength of our flesh, we too will fail miserably. But oh, the tender love of Jesus! Peter went out and wept bitterly in repentance. Judas, condemned by his own choices, realized what he'd done. But instead of repenting, he went out and hanged himself. When was the last time you or I wept over our betrayal of the Son of Man? I'm so thankful today for His great mercy and forgiveness. Join me as I pray. Almighty God and Father of all, You are holy and just. But how thankful we are that You are merciful and loving too. As my friend and I have meditated on this text, we've seen ourselves in these variations of betrayal. O God, have mercy on us. Forgive us for our failures. Help us to understand the futility of trying to honor You in our own strength. Help us to recognize the things that set us up for failure, and to pray fervently that we will not enter into temptation. Father, our heart's desire is to love and honor You before all men. Give us the courage of our convictions so we can bear Your name with confidence. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We will stand when the battle rages, trusting in the Lord, resisting powers of darkness with shield and sword. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all.
The trial of our faith brings its reward, endurance for the battle in the name of the Lord. And the truth that keeps this hope alive is the promise that He gives.
When we face the greatest struggle, we will stand. We will stand when the battle rages, trusting in the Lord, resisting powers of darkness with shield and sword. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all.
Thank you, men. My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If so, then I praise God. And if you'd like to review this teaching or share it with a friend, it's available to you either in print or on an audio CD. Just ask for the teaching by its title, Betraying the Son of Man. You can request this teaching by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of the teaching titled Betraying the Son of Man in print or on an audio CD. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching at your convenience. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, you can learn about upcoming events, or you can read an encouraging testimony from someone whose life has been transformed. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Just ask for the teaching, Betraying the Son of Man. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 1-866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And until we meet again,
they tried my Lord.
They tried my Lord and Master.
With no one to
defend.
Within the halls
of Pilate,
he stood without
a friend.
I'll be a friend
to Jesus.
My life for him
I'll spend.
I'll be a friend
to Jesus.
Until my years
shall end.
To all who need
a Savior,
My friend I recommend. Because he brought
salvation,
is why I am
his friend.
I'll be a friend
to Jesus.
My life for him
I'll spend.
I'll be a friend
to Jesus.
Until my years
shall